25-1978, Nicole Smith versus Roswell Park Cancer Institute et al. We'll let counsel get settled up here at the tables. While you're getting settled, just for the record, I will mention that there are a number of counsel motions that are all on submission today, and we are taking them all under advisement. Okay, Mr. Sanders, I understand you would like to reserve 3 minutes on behalf of the appellant. Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. We contend that district court erred in granting the motion for to dismiss and that this court should remand for the case to proceed to discovery. And I'm going to focus my time on the reasonable accommodation issue. The court erred below in 4 ways as it relates to the reasonable accommodation issue. First, by concluding that the exemption could not be a reasonable accommodation unless it helps you do the job in question. So, while in many instances a reasonable accommodation is one that helps you to affirmatively do the job, this court has recognized, including in We the Patriots, that an accommodation that would make it less likely for you to have problems as a result of not granting the accommodation that would prevent you from being able to do the job, that would also come into play. So, for example, there's a Western District case we cited involving the use of gloves to avoid getting a cut. Well, in a situation like that, the gloves don't help you affirmatively do your job, but by making it less likely for you to get a cut, you're less likely to have to miss work as a result of that injury. So I don't think that an exemption has to, in order for it to be a reasonable accommodation, it doesn't have to help you affirmatively do the job.
Did she, the form that she submitted requesting the medical accommodation, it didn't check off any of the ailments that would have qualified. It didn't really provide any explanation. I mean, did it comply with what New York law was requiring at the time?
So that actually segues into my second point. I think that here, in filling out the form, there are a number of places on the form, right? So there were specific specified contraindications which could come into play.
She didn't check off any of those.
She did not check off any of those, but the provider did fill in the bottom the diagnoses that the provider indicated were causing the problem and why the exemption would be appropriate. And
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
That the doctor did fill in the diagnoses on the bottom of the form that were the basis for the provider to indicate that the exemption would be appropriate.
Psoriasis.
That was, I think there's psoriasis, and there's also another psoriasis-related condition.
Psoriatic arthritis.
Yes.
But there's no explanation of
why
that would have any connection.
So I think that's where
vaccine. I mean, if someone just writes in, you know, common cold, that doesn't tell the employer that this is something that I think New York law requires, that it'd be a condition that would be detrimental to the health of the applicant according to generally accepted medical standards.
So that
and this just wrote in a couple words.
That's where the interactive process really would come in here. There was no request for additional information from the employer. There was no explanation for the reason for the denial. There was just a flat denial and a termination of employment. So we contend that they should have engaged in the interactive process in order to identify what's the issue here. We need more information.
There's no failure to engage in the interactive process. Does not give rise to an ADA claim, does it?
Well, I think that's an open question with this court. I think that in the Lovejoy Wilson case, is the Second Circuit case where the court didn't quite reach that, but I think that the failure to engage in the interactive process by itself, I think it's not clear whether that could form a violation, but it's certainly relevant to the question of whether or not there was a violation here. There's also the termination itself,
obviously.
How is
it relevant? Tell me how it's relevant.
Well, because if you don't engage in the interactive process, then you have no way of finding out the additional information that would help you determine whether or not the accommodation would be appropriate.
So if she provides information to her employer that does not establish that she has a disability, The employer then has a responsibility to engage in an interactive process to give her what, another chance?
Well, here I don't think there's...
Do they have to let her ask?
Here I don't think there's a question that she's disabled. I think that was acknowledged. The symptoms in question here...
I'm sorry, you're saying there wasn't a question as to whether she was disabled?
Correct. I think she was disabled.
Help me out then on that, because I had understood that with her conditions, the psoriatic arthritis and the psoriasis, she was able to perform her job. The question was whether or not, if she had to get a vaccine, she would any longer be able to perform her job. Isn't that the disability inquiry?
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. I mean, the allegation in the complaint is that she experienced pain, inflammation, that impacted her ability to think, impacted her vision, that happened 3 times a week. She needed to stop doing whatever she was doing for a period of time until those symptoms resolved.
She was still doing the job.
She was doing the job, but she might need to pause for a period of time.
What does the complaint say about how having the vaccine would have impacted that or made it worse?
So I think, and this goes to the third error, I think the judge said that, below said that she couldn't...
Does the complaint allege anything about what the impact having the vaccination would have had on the conditions?
I think the concern is that it would exacerbate those conditions. And she the district court said it was error for her to plead that on information and belief. And she said, well, I'm not a medical provider. I'm relying on what my doctor told me.
But information and belief, if you're the plaintiff, you have to come forward with allegations.
Right.
So she should have, I don't know, had a lawyer. She's not a lawyer, but she filed a complaint. That you can get a medical expert. You can consult your doctor. I mean, who needs an expert witness?
Right, and she's relying on the fact that the
facts that are peculiarly within the knowledge of Roswell Park. I mean, what do they know about psoriatic arthritis? Well, no, we're talking about like the HR department. We're not saying that do they have an oncologist on call who can tell you about cancer. I mean, that's not the way it works.
Well, right? But coincidentally, she was a patient there, and she was getting treatment.
And you think under HIPAA, it would have been legitimate for her personal healthcare providers to release all of her personal healthcare records to the employment side of the house?
Well, the employer knew that she was a patient there. And again, that goes to the interactive process.
And then what? And I'm asking, what's
so they should have asked her, hey, we know you're a patient here. We'd like to look at your records. We'd like to talk to your doctor.
So what does that have to do with her being a patient there? If she says, I have a healthcare condition, and you're saying that they could have said to her, we'd like to talk to your doctor, why does it matter that she was a patient there? Why wouldn't anybody be able to ask that of an employee who says, I have a health condition?
Oh they certainly could, but I was just saying
so
that.
Why does it matter that she was a patient there as opposed to Mount Sinai or some other place? What's the relevance of that? Because it seemed to me that you were insinuating, hey, she's a patient there. They should have, the HR people should have just gone to the doctor and say, hey, what's going on with her psoriasis? And it seems obvious that under HIPAA, that would be a whole nother lawsuit if the patient's health providers had started telling HR all about her health conditions. Would you not agree?
I would. I think my point there is, I mean, Roswell Park is a cancer institute, right? I mean, this is not just a routine primary care facility. The fact that she's a patient at Roswell for these conditions would be a signal to the employer that, look, she's getting treatment from us.
Well, wait a minute. You just said they're a cancer institute. Does she allege she has cancer?
Well, I mean, her...
Does she allege she has cancer? I thought she alleged psoriasis. Unless I'm mistaken, that's not a cancer diagnosis, is it?
The treatment that she was getting for her conditions was being provided at the Roswell Park Cancer Institute. There's no allegation that she had cancer.
You keep saying things that lead one to draw, that seem to imply something, but now it seems you're taking it back. You said it is a cancer institute, which to me suggests that they would have known she was being treated for cancer. But are you saying the fact that they're a cancer institute is irrelevant?
No, I'm not saying that she had a cancer diagnosis.
Then why is pointing out that this is a cancer institute relevant at all?
Because the fact that she's getting treatment at Roswell as opposed to just at a primary care physician would be a signal to any reasonable person that this patient, this employee, is getting a level of care that is serious, that's not just a cold.
This is an ADA, this is a disability claim. Your client was working And I gather, but for them telling her she had to get the COVID vaccine, was perfectly satisfied to continue working under the pre-COVID vaccine conditions. Is that right?
That is right, because
so
to the extent that
she wasn't looking for an accommodation separate and apart from don't make me take the COVID vaccine. That's the only accommodation she's looking for.
There is the allegation in the complaint that she was also seeking as an alternative accommodation to allow her to work from home. So that would have been a separate accommodation that we, the patrons, would also recognize.
In any event, she was not claiming she couldn't work, and the request you just identified was an alternative work from home. If they didn't require her to take the COVID vaccine, she was prepared to come into work at the office, right?
Correct, because
okay.
They were accommodating.
So then let's focus on the COVID vaccine request. In the application for an exemption she filed, her physician did not state why psoriasis or psoriatic arthritis would signal against taking this vaccine, right? There's nothing in there that does.
That's correct.
And there's nothing in the complaint that does either, is there?
Because she's relying on her provider saying that that's an appropriate, that's appropriate for her to be exempted from the vaccine.
Well, does the provider say it's inappropriate, or does he just identify that as her condition?
The latter, and obviously we'd get into that okay. In discovery.
So to that extent, how do you plead a plausible claim that there was a failure to accommodate her disability? Because you have to plead that the accommodation being sought was necessary to her disability and would have allowed her to work. I'm not sure you've either pled or that the exemption application shows why she needed an accommodation at all.
I think the fact that her provider indicated on the form that it was appropriate to grant the exemption suggests that there is medical support for that by virtue of the fact that the provider signed that form.
Right. And how did the provider do that other than a doctor says she's got psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis? That's enough to say that she needs an accommodation.
Yes, I think so, because I think that's where, I mean, the filling in that diagnosis and then the signing of the form is indicated under what is the basis for the provider to be requesting that exemption. I mean, the provider wouldn't be signing that form, but for the fact that the provider was saying that the exemption was appropriate.
And now in the complaint, you don't think you have to plead that for folks with psoriasis or for folks with psoriatic arthritis, there's a reasonable basis in medical science to think that the COVID vaccine would exacerbate their condition. You don't think there's a need to plead that?
I think the fact that the provider has signed the form indicating that is an appropriate basis for the exemption is sufficient to establish that there is some medical support for that. A provider signed a form.
The mere fact that a doctor submitted and signed a certification is enough. I mean, suppose the had been a cold. Suppose the disability had been a broken leg. I mean, it can't just be that merely submitting and signing something is enough.
Well, and of course, a cold and a broken leg raises the question whether that was we'd be covered by the ADA. But I understand
well, right.
Your point.
And why isn't the same question exist with psoriasis?
I think that's where it would be appropriate to ask the questions and engage in the interactive process. Because if they did that, they could have said, "We appreciate that your doctor filled out this form. We need some additional information in order for us to determine whether or not we agree with what your doctor is saying." And there is some provisions under the ADA for, you know, a third party medical examination to determine whether or not it's appropriate. So I think that the pleading and the allegation on the form that the doctor signed that is sufficient at this level, at the complaint level to move forward with the case.
Okay. You have reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal. Why don't we hear from your adversary, Ms. McGraw, for the appellee.
Here we go. Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'm going to jump right into that last question that you were asking of Mr. Sanders, because there have been a couple of cases that have actually been decided since this has been briefed. And the first is a Southern District case that was decided on May 26th of 2026 that answers this question. In that case, and the name is Fiore versus North Shore Radiation Therapy. That's F-I-O-R-E. And the I can give you the case site. It's 2026 U.S. District Court or U.S. District Lexus 115784. That case involved much more than what we have here. The employee in that case, exactly the same medical exemption COVID vaccine case. She had done a form that the same way that we have the form in this case. Her doctor wrote a letter certifying that her condition was a profound autoimmune disease and relapsing polychondritis. And her doctor wrote a letter certifying that getting the vaccine would be detrimental to her health. There was a second letter that she submitted saying that getting the COVID vaccine would be life-threatening to her condition. And the Southern District in that case dismissed the complaint, holding that the conditions that are set forth in the regulation in the Department of Health regulation are exhaustive, and that as it, even
well, that's
in
that's a little different, and also, I mean, that's a very different situation. I'm not sure, at least from your recounting, it didn't sound very persuasive ruling. I don't know, the idea that if a physician certifies that getting the vaccine would cause a life-threatening condition. I thought the whole point of the argument on your side here is that there's no evidence presented either in the complaint or in the medical exemption that this will have any detrimental impact on Ms. Smith. Whereas, I mean, I guess in the other case you would say, well, it's conclusory and he didn't explain the mechanics of why this life-threatening, but
Your Honor, I only raise that to show that in that case there was actual documentary and signed certifications from a doctor in explaining to the employer why that employee's
yeah,
condition.
That's also a district court case. Yeah.
No, I understand, Your Honor, but in this case,
part of our job is reversing district courts. So, you know,
I understand, Your Honor.
What's the most persuasive case you have from us?
No, Your Honor. I wanted to identify that to explain that the questions you're asking of Mr. Sanders are exactly our argument, which is the form doesn't explain anything. It doesn't actually even certify from her doctor. It doesn't include any explanation as to why her psoriasis or her psoriatic arthritis.
Is that the fact that the doctor signed the form and that it was submitted, that implicitly or implies that was a qualifying disability. How do you respond to that argument?
Yes, and I understand Mr. Sanders' argument in that regard. And to that, I would say that it's not enough to plausibly allege that her condition is either contraindicated or a precaution against receiving the COVID vaccine. It's clear in the regulation, the Department of Health had laid out the conditions that were contraindications against the vaccine, and psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis were not one of them.
Well, what if they didn't know? And what if this guy is a psoriatic arthritis expert and he has 16 journal articles, you know, published in the New England Journal of Medicine that says every person who has psoriatic arthritis who ever got the COVID vaccine died within 24 hours, but it's not on the schedule because, you know, the state didn't know about it. And he wrote that in and he said, psoriatic arthritis will cause death within 24 hours pursuant to the various journal articles. Are you saying that she would still lose because it wasn't in the list?
Are you saying if her provider wrote that in that?
I thought you were arguing that because it's not in the list, she would still lose.
If
that's your argument, that seems awfully weak.
That's not, if her doctor had wrote that in this exemption form, right, I believe Roswell Park would have granted it.
So, well, no, the different question, not whether they would have granted it, whether she would have stated a claim under the ADA had Roswell Park denied it.
So are you saying if she had put it in her form or if she had pled it in her complaint?
Either one.
So what I'm saying is if she had submitted that to Roswell Park and said, my doctor said this, I believe Roswell Park would have granted her exemption.
Okay, different question.
Okay.
Okay. I'm hypothesizing a world where Roswell Park denies the exemption anyway, and now she's come to sue, and her form is more complete and says, psoriatic arthritis in the New England Journal of Medicine, there is proof that anyone who takes the COVID-19 vaccine, if they have psoriatic arthritis, dies in 24 hours. All right. And I thought you were arguing that because psoriatic arthritis is not on the list of pre-approved conditions by New York State, no need to accommodate.
I think that's an interesting question, though, because you're evaluating retrospectively as to what Roswell Park knew at the time that it granted
right.
the exemption.
My hypothetical.
Right.
And they deny it.
Right.
Is there an ADA claim?
Did she plausibly allege an ADA claim?
Yeah, that was the form. Do you have my hypothetical?
I understand.
And they've denied the claim, and they say, no accommodation. I don't care that your doctor said you'd die in 24 hours because everybody with psoriatic arthritis who takes a vaccine dies in 24 hours. And they nevertheless deny the complaint on the ground that it's not on the exhaustive list. In your view, will she have stated an ADA claim?
A disparate treatment claim? No, because there's no intentional discrimination. Maybe she would have.
Tell you to accommodate claim.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think.
What is the fact? I mean, I'm really struggling to figure out what would be the maybe part there.
Because still, Your Honor, I think you have to look at what Roswell Park knew at the time it granted or denied.
So what
the,
do they not know from my hypothetical?
Because you're looking at the complaint was 2 or 3 years after Roswell Park granted or denied the exemption request.
The complaint.
You're saying
hypothetical. Remember what my form says in the hypothetical? Do you remember that?
Oh, I'm sorry. So I'm sorry. I misunderstood your hypothetical. Then yes, she would have stated a failure to accommodate claim.
Okay.
Let's deal with what's on this document. We have a doctor who says, okay, none of these listed conditions satisfy, but we're asking for the exemption based on psoriatic arthritis, psoriasis of the scalp. If Roswell doesn't understand why that would mean you were at risk from the COVID vaccine, what obligation did it have to ask? I mean, the doctor's address and contact information is right on the form.
So our position is that the form itself, that we did engage in the interactive process. And
you
that,
did? Tell me how.
Yeah, so Ms. Smith, you know, so the state came out with the mandate. Roswell Park informs its employees of our obligation to comply with the mandate. We communicate that there is a mechanism to apply for a medical exemption. Ms. Smith indicates she's going to apply for one. We send her this form. She sends it to her doctor and she submits it. That is engaging in the interactive process.
But if the problem now is that you don't understand why psoriatic arthritis or psoriasis would put her at risk with the COVID vaccine, don't you have an obligation to ask?
Respectfully, Your Honor, no, I don't think it's our obligation as Roswell Park to question what a medical doctor is saying. I mean, the form is clear. It's asking whether there's contraindications.
So you accept that the doctor thinks that she'll be at risk because of these conditions?
But the doctor doesn't say that she's at risk because of these conditions. The doctor just writes psoriatic arthritis and psoriasis of the scalp.
All right. It's a request for an exemption. And right above what the doctor has written, it says, the staff member and their healthcare provider has based the request on a condition not reflected above. Please specify. So the doctor is asking for an exemption based on psoriatic arthritis and psoriasis of the scalp. What would tell the doctor or the employee that they needed to say more than that?
The regulation. The regulation would indicate, and the front side of the, or the form itself requires that the doctor state that the condition upon which the exemption is based be state that the vaccine would be.
I'm looking at exhibit 4. You're saying the front form. Is there more that I'm not seeing here?
So it's not actually clear from the record, but I believe that exhibit 3 is actually the front page of the form.
That's the front page?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
And what am I looking at here?
Yeah. Sorry, just bear with me, Your Honor.
Tell me what the part is that you're saying the regulation referred to on the form would have alerted her. Tell me where.
So it says this form is for staff members seeking a reasonable accommodation based on medical reasons in accordance with the New York State Department of Health regulations. A licensed physician or certified nurse practitioner must certify that the immunization with COVID-19 vaccine would be detrimental to the health of the employee based upon a pre-existing health condition.
Right. Your adversary is saying that the doctor, by basically certifying that she needs an exemption for psoriatic arthritis and psoriasis of the scalp, is doing that. Now, is your denial based on the fact that you don't think psoriatic arthritis and psoriasis of the scalp warrants, puts her at any risk?
Yes. And one more point on that, Your Honor, is that my adversary has conceded that at page 7 of his reply brief. He concedes that she did not qualify for the exemption.
Page 7, you said?
Yes.
Did you say page 7?
Yes, Your Honor. It says, nowhere does plaintiff allege in her amended complaint that her medical condition/diagnosis constitute a contraindication, nor does she claim entitlement to an exemption on that basis.
No, I thought it was right. But then if you read the next sentence on the following page, instead, a proper reading of the complaint shows that plaintiff alleged her requested accommodation was valid, even though her condition did not fall within a recognized contraindication. I read that paragraph as saying that she hadn't checked off one of the pre-filled boxes with one of the things that's sort of a listed contraindication. That's what I understand he means by contraindication. And he's saying instead it was something more specific to her that wasn't on the pre-filled list.
I understand.
You're saying that he is conceding here. You're basically saying he's conceding away his whole case.
I understand this argument in his reply brief to concede that she's not qualified for the medical exemption and instead to argue that she's not covered personnel.
Well, the covered personnel is different.
When counsel gets up, he says that's not what he's conceding. What's your alternative argument?
If he says he's not conceding?
That's not a concession that she doesn't qualify for the exemption. It's just a concession that she doesn't fit any of the listed contraindications.
Well, it's everything I was just arguing as I was standing up here, which is that even though it's, to answer your original question, it's that even though it's written there, and I guess, you know, the argument that he's making is that the fact that it's written on the form is the doctor's way of indicating that it's a contraindication or a non-stated one in the statute, it's not enough. You have to specify, you have to certify that it is detrimental to the employee's health. And the fact that she pleaded upon information and belief in the complaint, and as Judge Crawford observed in his decision, her later unemployment appeal, which was on a full factual record, she still didn't have any medical evidence to support that getting the COVID vaccine was would be detrimental to her health on the basis of her psoriasis or her psoriatic arthritis. That is the basis of the district court's decision. She didn't have the medical evidence to support it. So that would be my argument, and that's my statement as to why the mere fact that it's written on the form doesn't qualify.
Can I ask you, and I'll ask opposing counsel this as well, page A27, which is Exhibit 4, I can't read the top part. It's all sort of gray and facts and photocopied a number of times, and I have tried even with a magnifying glass. I just can't read what's up there. Can't make it out. If that said, it was sort of like a juror, right? You know, somebody signs at the bottom and they're testing everything. And it said, I, the undersigned physician, attest that the condition I have handwritten below constitutes a reason that would establish I certify that immunization with the COVID vaccine, because of the condition written below, would be detrimental to the health of the employee based upon her health condition, and that I certify this in accordance with generally accepted medical standards, et cetera, et cetera. Let's say that's what the mystery language says. What would be the problem with that? What would be the defect in the request for medical accommodation?
I think it's the same answer I just gave, is that the fact that years later she still is having to plead upon information.
No. I'm talking about that. Why would she need to, she wouldn't need to plead it extra in the complaint because it would have all been there. The doctor said it in 2021. You don't need to plead more. You don't have to like replead it. If you say, I certify my doctor said the following.
But the fact that she did plead it upon information and belief is evidence that her doctor didn't
take
tell her
hypothetical.
That.
Okay. Take my hypothetical. Don't fight my hypothetical.
I think, though, that's still not enough.
Why?
Because it doesn't explain why.
Okay. And that's what I'm saying is, where in the regulations does it say that you need to say the why? Because I read the regulation. I thought the regulation was basically parroted on page 25 in Exhibit 3 that says that a doctor must certify, or certified nurse practitioner must certify that, blah, blah, blah. And you seem to be saying they need to certify that and something else. Does the regulation require something more than what's written on page 825? I didn't think so.
I think, Your Honor, the answer is that under your hypothetical, yeah. Roswell Park evaluating this during the pandemic at the time that it did, this doesn't give it enough to look and determine that it would be in compliance with the regulation such that it could grant the exemption and allow Ms. Smith to work unvaccinated against COVID.
So you're saying a doctor, I think his argument would be that you're saying a doctor has to do more than comply with the regulations. It also has to satisfy the curiosity of Roswell Park. Because the regulation says a doctor must certify as follows, blah, blah, blah. The doctor, in my hypothetical, has certified exactly what the regulation asked for. Okay, take that in my hypothetical. The doctor has complied with the regulation. And you're saying that Roswell Park can demand more than the regulation demands?
But the regulation contains specific conditions that are listed in it, and psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis are not.
But I thought, and the regulation limits the exemption to those listed?
Correct.
So again, if you had something not listed that we know and the doctor certifies to a scientific certainty will kill her, you're saying the regulation doesn't?
Well, I was answering your hypothetical where you have a doctor certifying that, you know, a letter saying that that patient is going to die if they get the COVID vaccine under those conditions. And I was answering your hypothetical.
Okay, so really, but that's where I come back to it. I'd have to pull up the regulation, but the regulation says you only get the exemption if you have a listed condition.
So if
and a doctor certifying that it will, quote, have a detrimental health, it would be detrimental to the healthy employee based on a pre-existing health condition. All that is not enough. It has to certify that, and it has to certify a condition that is already on the pre-printed list. Because if that's true, why does Roswell Park send out a form that has or other?
So
why is there a bucket for other under your view? Because you seem to be saying no matter what they put in other, denied. Is that your position?
So, Your Honor, if you look at A41 is the Department of Health guidelines that were that were issued that go along with the regulation. I'm sorry, A43.
Mm-hmm.
And they say what are the applicable, and it's ACIP, Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, vaccine contraindications. And they list them, they say, as of the date of this guidance, these are the ones that we list. And those are the ones that are listed on Roswell Park's form. And I understand your Honor's question.
Sure, right. So tell me then why they have a box for other.
I don't know why that was included. I can't answer that on this record, Your Honor.
Do you have anywhere in the record before us what you say are the accepted conditions under the New York State regulation?
Accepted conditions.
You're referring to a list. Is the list that's here on page 827, which are, you know, generally problems with taking the COVID-19, or is there another list like, you know, terminal liver cancer would exempt you from taking the vaccine or, you know, a some other particular condition. I'm just trying to figure out what we're talking about.
Your Honor, that's what I just identified on A43, and it goes over to A44.
A43. Okay. Thank you.
And I'm well over my time, so okay. I don't.
Why don't we hear from your advocate?
Thank you, Your Honors.
Let's see, counsel. Mr. Sanders, you have reserved 3 minutes. If you could just start by addressing one point that your adversary raised regarding pages 7 and 8 of your reply brief. She contends that you conceded that she was not eligible for an exemption. Is that what you were meaning to do?
No, I think you had it just right, Your Honor. We were conceding that she didn't meet the list of the contraindications, not that she was not granted. And I think that it's notable that the A43 is part of an FAQ that was from the Department of Health. But I mean, I happen to have a copy of the We the Patriots, and they had an appendix, which is the text of 2.61. And if you look at 2.61D, where it lists the exemptions, it doesn't list the particular contraindications. It says, if any licensed physician or certified nurse practitioner certifies that immunization with COVID-19 vaccine is detrimental to the health of member of a covered entity's personnel based upon a pre-existing health condition, the requirement of this section relating to COVID-19 immunization shall be inapplicable only until such immunization is no longer detrimental.
If I understand your argument here is that the regulation is what's binding, the regulation is broad, the CDC had a list of contraindications, but at no point did the regulation adopt those contraindications as the exhaustive list of health conditions that can be detrimental to the health of an employee.
Correct, and we assume and contend that's why there was an opportunity to list other underneath that. Excuse me. If you were checking one of the boxes relating to those contraindications, then you wouldn't need to do that. But if you don't, then you need to specify that below.
So let me ask you. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, counsel. Can I ask you to look at page A44? Because that's something that counsel just brought our attention to, these conditions that might exempt you from the vaccine. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. You see the first bulleted item, current moderate to severe acute illness. This is a temporary precaution until the individual has recovered. Everything else seems to be allergic reactions, et cetera, to the vaccine or other vaccines, but sticking with current moderate to severe acute illness, is that basically what your client was claiming when the doctor filled in psoriatic arthritis and psoriasis of the scalp?
I don't know that with a certainty, Your Honor. Obviously, I'm not in the mind of the provider. I think that
I'm just trying to figure out how you think you qualify for an exemption, because under that bulleted listing, I could understand where paper cut doesn't get you the exemption, terminal liver cancer does. And so is there anything other than that recognized qualification for an exemption that your client would fit under?
I think that the text of 261 suggests that the definition of what entitles one to an exemption is broader than what's just listed on these particular list of contraindications.
So you think 261 is broader. Okay. So thank you. I just wanted to be sure I understood.
The district court concluded that the plaintiff had failed to plead that she met the requirements for a medical exemption or that she otherwise merited a reasonable accommodation. Where in the complaint does she plead those things?
Well, Exhibit 4 is an exhibit to the complaint itself, right? So the Exhibit 4, which is the form by the provider, and to answer Your Honor's point, I don't know what's in that section anymore at this point. I probably knew that at one particular point in time. But I think it's fair to assume that the text on the top of H27 is along the lines of what you were.
I don't know that that is fair to assume. I mean, The point of attaching the document to the complaint is to add specificity to the complaint. If you give something, and believe me, I've tried, I can make out a word or two here or there, but I can't make this out. I don't think it is a plausible or reasonable inference to us start making assumptions about what's in that box.
So right, and I think that
you could have easily dug up a copy of this thing, or maybe you can find it on Google, or you could have I don't know how, but to me, I don't know what the equivalent of the jurat is. I don't know what that.
I think that the
because it's illegible, and you didn't reprint it or summarize it or paraphrase it or do anything in the complaint. So
I think
don't know what to do with Exhibit 4.
I think that probably the copy that was attached to the original complaint probably was better than this one, and it's been copied a number of times since then. But I think that just the fact that the language immediately above the exceptions and the signature indicates that the provider is indicating that this is the basis for the provider to be requesting the accommodation, I think that gets you there. I mean, I think the jurat is probably consistent with what you were speculating, but even in the absence of that, I think the language above there.
I mean, I don't know, but the imagination runs wild. All right. I think we have everyone's argument. Thank you all. We will take the case under advisement.